Good evening, church. Well, the message we got tonight was very interesting how the Lord gave it to me. I've been praying and asking for about 2 weeks. Lord, I need a message. Anyway, I was laying on my bed and I says, Dad, I'm getting rather desperate here. I said, I like to take time to prepare my message. And he gave me one word, flee. And it wasn't that kind of flee either. It was flee. And all of a sudden, out of my well came that scripture, which we're going to do tonight. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 to 12. But godliness with content is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world and we can take nothing out of it. But if you have food and clothing, we will be content with that. People who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. But this is the one we're going to do tonight. But you, men of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. And this is from the Message. I love this. But you, Timothy, man of God, run for your life from all this. Pursue a righteous life, a life of wonder, faith, love, steadiness, courtesy. Run hard and fast in the faith. Seize the eternal life, the life you were called to, and the life you fervently embraced in the presence of many witnesses. The Bible tells us to stand firm on God's word and attack the gates of hell. And hell will not be able to withstand it. Also in the Bible, it tells us to flee from corruption. In the title of tonight's message is, there's a time to stand and fight, and there's a time to flee and run. And it's very important that we know when to stand and fight and when to run. You're not a coward when you run. You know, it's a lot of us think, you know, we can handle this and handle that, and we get into stuff that we should be actually running away from. And I want to say this, men, and all of us, don't be afraid to flee. Don't be afraid to run. You're not weak. You're not a coward. In fact, you're a very wise person. Now, Joseph was a good example of running, fleeing. He was a good example. But let me tell you sometimes things. It's not always the big things that catch us. Sometimes it's the little foxes that spoil the vine that we actually don't, insignificant. They seem insignificant to us, but they're the real danger because they catch you by unawares. Men, women, be aware of the little things that spoil the vine, the little foxes. Don't just go, I can handle that. No, they'll get you. They will get you. It's not just the big thing of a woman going, come on, honey, come to me. It's not just that. We all run like mad. But it's the things we can't see or the little things that are insignificant. Run. Learn to run. It's not wrong. It's right. Otherwise, it wouldn't be in the Bible. Pastor Chris was here a couple of weeks ago, and he spoke about something, and it really, man, it just, I don't know how to say it really, it just impacted me, was Saul's road to Damascus experience, the power of the gospel. Man, it like, that man was going out to destroy the church, and God smacked him one, and that man's life turned around. Now, people, I want to tell you, when we stand and fight, when we attack the enemy, we have that same power, we have that same authority for us. Pastor Eliafi was talking about God parting the Red Sea and icing up. And I thought, wow. But you know something? You know what's getting to me? We actually have that same God who's the same yesterday, today, and forever. We have that same power. We have that same gospel. We have that same authority for us when we go into battle. We do not go into battle on our own. But sometimes we don't recognize who we have going before us. Now, about five years ago, you'll remember this, I think, Pastor Lily. I had an accusation made against me. And I thought, wow, where did that come from? I still can't remember where it came from. But at any rate, it went on and on. And it started getting into the big departments of the government and everything. And I thought, at any rate, it went on. And it was getting so heavy. I was praising God because I was learning to trust the Lord. And I was fighting, but my physical body was crumbling. My mind was crumbling. And I sat on the end of my bed one afternoon, because I went to town, and all of a sudden I heard this report, what the people were going to try and get me. And I thought, I sat on the bed and I said, Lord, I'm going to go and see Pastor Ely tomorrow and tell him I'm leaving the church. I'm going to see Lynn tomorrow and tell him I'm leaving her, because I didn't want anyone caught up in the stigma. And I'm sitting on my bed, and then the power of God just came all over me. And he said, stand. So I stood. And he said, Barry, stand in the grace that I've shown you and given you. The battle's not yours, it's mine. I want to tell you something, people. Within 6 weeks, I saw skid marks on the road where everyone who was accusing me were hit reverse gear. They realized God vindicated me. But I had to go through, must have been about 3 months of hell. But boy, did I learn and did I grow through that. But then I saw God vindicate me. And I have to admit, it was the most wonderful moment of my life. And I want to say this for our church. Pastor Andrew, Pastor Illy, Pastor Karina stood beside my wife and I the whole time and never let us go. They hung on to us. And that was something special. Boy, do we need that. We need each other, people. As I was preparing this message, I got up and did my Bible reading in the morning that I do, in my prayer, and I just opened my Bible to Joshua, and I had to crack up, I really did, and it's talking about God fighting for Israel, and it's Joshua chapter 10, verse 9 to 15, God brought the enemy of Israel into confusion, and this is a part that I really had a bit of a laugh about. And God hurled great stones, hailstones at the enemy. And my mind, I was sitting there, my mind, God, give me that spindle, poof, give me that hailstone, poof. And I realized, no, God doesn't do that. No. But, you know, more people died of the hailstones that God poured down. The sun stood still, the moon stopped. And the end of the scripture goes, surely the Lord was fighting for Israel. Now, people, I want to tell you this. He's the same God, and he will do the same for you. If you're going through a tough time, yes, you seem to be rowing your own canoe, but I'll tell you what, you're not. He's already gone before you. When we go into battle, he's already gone before us. And I know that because I've experienced that. So if you're going through a battle tonight, or you're having to do something, and it's quite a fight, don't give up, fellas. Don't run, because you've got to stand and fight with this one. Don't run. Don't say to God, enough, stop, I've had enough. Don't do that. Just say to God, Lord, this is hurting like mustard, Lord. It really is hurting me. But keep going, because we're going to come out of this. And that's what I did. I was crying because I thought I was going to have to tell Pastor Lee I won't be coming back to church because I was going to leave my wife. It was hard. And then God came and, no, you don't, boy. I've gone before you. Hallelujah. Yeah, I just can't get over how that man was changed, Saul was changed in that short period of time. But you know what? When we get saved, we have that experience. Paul had a Damascus experience, but so do we in a way, because God pulls us out of darkness into light. Now, the night I got saved, I went to the pub and had some jugs, because I thought, well, I've got to get myself ready for all this. And I went to this home group, and the man was preaching about four friends letting that man down, paralyzed man down to Jesus. And I had my little nephew, I think that you call him, on my knee. And I thought, oh, I really want Jesus. I need him. My life was a mess, I've got to be honest with you. And the man said, put up your hand if you want Jesus. And I went, yeah. And I accidentally squeezed my poor nephew, and he screamed. I went, yes! Oh, sorry. But this is what happened. I stood up, and God gave me this vision. I stood up like this, and my body was entwined with big, thick chains and cast iron balls. And I was standing like this, and they untwirled to my body and ended up a mountain of powder at my feet. And this is what the Lord said. Barry, he called me by my name. Most people wouldn't even call me by anything except, but anyway, he called me Barry. You are free. And that's what he said to me in 1969 when I gave my heart to the Lord. I didn't understand it then, but I understand it now. He went and fought for us at Calvary. Hallelujah. Joseph knew to flee. Ananias, I hope I say these names right. I've been trying to practice them at home. Ananias and Sapphira, is that right?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. They didn't flee. They listened to the voice they should have ran from. They didn't. Sell your house, but keep a little bit of the money for yourself. Fit in with all the others who were selling their homes and make it look like you're one of them, but just keep some in your pocket. And they did. They listened to that voice instead of running. They didn't even need to sell their home. They could have kept it. It was their home. But they sold it. And you know, when Peter was talking to them, they both dropped dead at different times, but they both died. It's good to flee when you have to flee, and it's good to fight when you have to fight. Yeah. What do we flee from? Strife. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 23. Do not have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments, because you know they produce quarrels. And we all know when that happens in a house, you open the door for, do not give them a foothold. If anyone starts to have a row with you, run. Flee, don't get involved. Oh, I can remember years ago, I wasn't a Christian, I was at this movie, and these fellows were throwing jaffers at us. And I didn't know how to flee in those days. And I stood up, who is throwing those flipping jaffers? And my brother said, sit down, Barry, sit down. And there was five of them. Yeah. They ran in the end. Not me. Not me. Flee from strife. If someone goes to start an argument with you, don't have it. Don't just walk away. You're more of a man to walk away, because it ends up in quarrelsome, it ends up in arguments. And I'll tell you what, strife starts like that, and then anger, and after anger becomes murder and all that kind of thing. That's how it grows. You lose control. Flee from sexual immorality. That's in 1 Corinthians 6, 18a. Flee from that, which we've all got to learn to do. We've got to learn to run, men and women. 1 Corinthians 10:14. Therefore, my friends, flee from idolatry. Whatever becomes an idol, whatever comes before God, whatever takes your place away from God is an idol. The All Blacks can be an idol. TV can be an idol. A brand new car can be an idol. Anything can become an idol. If it does, destroy it. I don't mean destroy your car. I mean just change your whole rethinking. While we may not make our or bow down to statues, we must be constantly on guard that we let nothing come between us and God. As soon as anything does that, it's an idol. And we don't want that, eh? We don't want that. You all right, Daniel? Okay. I thought you might want to have a sleep. We'll just change a little bit of direction now. Pursue righteousness. It said in here, but you are man of God, flee from this and pursue. You know what pursue means? Chase after. Chase after. Righteousness. We've got to chase after righteousness, people. We've got to hunger for it. We've got to go looking for it. We've got to understand it. We've got to understand what it means, understand the lifestyle of it, what happens when I get in there, how do I behave with righteousness, what do I do with righteousness. We've got to learn to chase after it because that's what the Lord wants. Why does the Lord say, don't do this, but chase after? Because he doesn't want us to be corrupted. He doesn't want our garment to be stained. It's a heart of love. It's a father's heart for his children. I don't want Atahua putting a hand on a hot element because I love her. And if I say, baby, don't touch that element, that's hot, it's because I love her. You know? Do you know God loves you? He absolutely loves you. And he's saying to us tonight, learn to fight, learn to flee. Don't let corruption or temptation stain your garment that I've given you, that garment of righteousness, that beautiful white garment. Don't let any stains of ungodliness come on it. Pursue righteousness. Chase after right standing with God. Chase after a true relationship with God. Now, I never knew what a relationship was until, even when I got married, I didn't have an idea of what relationship. We never had that in our family. And I think I'm learning now. 73 nearly, and I'm learning now. You know? But I want to say to you people, a relationship with the Lord is something beautiful. Because you can go to him crying. You can go to him praising him. He accepts you just the way you are. If you're facing a massive big mountain, he's right there because your relationship with him is strong. He wants us young people to have a relationship with him, to love him, to embrace him, to make him your life. Yeah. Yeah. Praise God. Pursue godliness. Godliness is a reverence. Now, what's reverence? I got to look up a lot of dictionaries when I'm at home because this is hard work for me because I never went to school. Oh, I did eat someone else's lunch, but that's about all. Reverence is a feeling of profound and awe and respect for God. That's reverence. The other morning I got up. I normally try and get up at 5 and I got my prayer chair at home and I have a coffee, I make myself a coffee and I put my Bible there and I normally try and read a chapter every morning and spend some time in. But this morning I got up and I couldn't pray. It was like, oh, my mind. And I remembered what David did and I tried it. And I stood there and I said, Saul, worship the Lord. That's what we're here for. Don't give him this rubbish. Give him the best. Come on, worship the Lord, soul. This is in my lounge. And all of a sudden, I just took off. It was brilliant. And I thought, well, it really works. So I tell you what, that's the relationship we have with the Lord. Did I ever share with you the time that we went somewhere Lynn said it was Taupo, but I thought it was Palmerston. But I'll believe Lynn. Anyway, we went to this house and they were all drinking and smoking and carrying on, and I just, ugh. I had to get out and go for a walk, but I hadn't been talking to the Lord for a fortnight. Anyway, I was walking down the road and it started raining. I was talking to the Lord then. I said, sorry, Lord, I'm going to have to go because I don't know my way around here. And the Lord said to me, I'll stop the rain if you carry on. I haven't heard your voice for a long time. And I started crying. I didn't care what the people thought. You know what I realized? He absolutely loves us, and he longs to hear us talk to him, praise him, and just open up our heart to him. Most people wouldn't even let me talk, if they were game enough. They wouldn't let me talk, because, you know, but God loved to hear my voice. And that changed my life forever. I realized how much and how valuable we are to the Lord. You are a precious person to him, people. The gospel we carry is powerful. He's powerful. And he will always go before us and protect us. But I'll never forget that moment. Pursue faith. A belief, faith is a belief or confident attitude towards God involving commitment to his will for your life. Faith is trusting God. You know what I say to the Lord? You're the only one I trust with my life, Lord. I don't even trust myself, but I trust you, and I surrender my life to you. I often tell him that. Especially, you know. Okay, here's a beautiful one. Pursue love. There's two words meaning love. I'm going to be talking about this love on Thursday morning to Trailblazers. But I'm only going to give you a little snippet because otherwise it'll bubble up and come out and I want to hold it for Thursday. Okay. Pursue love. There's two words meaning love. One is philia and the other one is agape love. Philia love is to have a fervent affection and feeling, a type of impulse love. When Lynn first saw me, she was madly in love. No? Was that the wrong love, dear? I think I better have a drink of water. Actually, I was at a home group, and I took two flagons to this home group. I was invited to a party by Marie Hapu, and it wasn't a party, it was a home group. And I'm walking, and there were two flagons under my arm. I knocked on the door. She opened the door, and here was Lynn sitting in the corner, my eye caught her. And next minute, I'm looking at everybody, and I couldn't see any booze. They had these little square books. And I'm thinking, oh, ground, open up and swallow me. I know I'm in the wrong place here. But God was good. But I heard the gospel. Praise God. But I took my flagons home. Filial love, which is the response of the human spirit to what appeals to it as pleasurable. Now, agape love, this is what I'm learning now. Agape love, to have esteem or high regard. Agape love is John 3:16 and Romans 5:8 and his other verses too. Where God so loved us, even before we were sinners, Christ died for us. And I was thinking about this. I was laying on my bed, and all of a sudden, the Lord took me on a journey of that thief on the cross. And all of a sudden, he started showing me something. I went, wow, I never saw it like that. Now, one thief was abusing him, and he died in his sin. The other thief rebuked that fella and said to him, don't you fear God? And he said to Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. In other words, remember me when you're king. And the Lord said to him, today you shall be with me in paradise. And I'm thinking, yeah, but there's more to this, Lord. There's more to this. And all of a sudden, God showed me agape love. God looked at that man, not as a criminal or thief or bad dude. He looked at that man as a man of value. A man of value. When I gave my heart to the Lord, I was an alcoholic. I was a thief. I used to pinch people's cars because I couldn't afford one. And I was popping pills left, right, and center on drugs. I was violent. I was an angry, hurting man. And I had a whole lot of addictions in my life that I couldn't control. And yet I married my wife like that. But you know something? God looked at me in 1969, and he didn't see. I was called a wild animal. That's what they used to call me, a wild animal. And God didn't look at me and go, whoa. He didn't do that. He looked at me and says, son, I choose you. He didn't look. See, we are people of value. That man at the cross, that's what Calvary's all about. That's what Calvary is all about. Love, agape love. Salvation, mercy, grace, and compassion. And healing. That man was made whole. He went into heaven with the Lord, into paradise. And yet just before that, talk about Paul's experience, that was more powerful, I think. That man was a criminal, a thief, and I know what that's like. And yet instantly he became a man of God. He walked into paradise. That's what the cross is all about. That's the love of God. That's how powerful our God is. That's what he thinks of us. He absolutely adores you. You are the apple of his eye. You are precious to him. I am precious to him. We are all precious to him. If we could get to the fact that that's how much he loves us, we wouldn't be the same, because for someone to love you like that, you can't help but fall in love back. Amen. You can't help but showing love and respect. Hallelujah. Especially when you weren't worth a tin of baked beans before. And all of a sudden, you're worth everything. He even bankrupted heaven, as Pastor Lee said a few times ago. He gave you the very best he had. He bankrupted heaven for you. That's how much he loves us, people. Even when you crash and you miss the mark, or sin is a straight way of putting it, he doesn't see that. He sees someone of worth, someone of value. That's what we are to him. Amen. That's what we are to him. Pursue endurance. Fortitude, patience, and staying power. This is what we've got to chase after. If you read that at home, have a look at what we're meant to chase after. It's not after money or anything like that. Chase, like one day I preached a while back, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. God will give us what we need materially, financially, but we and spiritually, but we must pursue what he wants us to pursue. Jesus is a prime example, isn't it, of staying power. On the cross. Pursue gentleness, kindness, goodness of heart, compassion, tenderness. Now, we are the only gospel that unsaved people will read. We are that gospel. And if we're no different than them, what are we actually saying? What are we actually saying? Nothing but dead letter, dead works. We are the gospel for them to read. We're praying for them to come to the Lord. Then let them read what we're all about. Let them read that we love Jesus. Let them read that we trust Jesus. Amen? Amen. Can we just close our eyes and... Oh, there was that one thing I said. Sorry, I'm going to say. Open your eyes again. Hello? When we attack Hades, we're to take back what is ours. Now, I want to share something with you. We're to take back our health because sin destroyed our health. We're to take back our finances because sin destroyed our finances. We're to take back our material things because sin destroyed our material things. Now, I've been having really bad trouble with my hips. Really bad. And I could walk back from here to Lynn and I'd be in pure agony, man, especially this one here. And this one here was giving me signals as well. Anyway, while I was preparing this message, God showed me something. Stand, fight, take back your health, Barry. Satan and sin took your health. They riddled you with arthritis. And I thought, yeah. So I did. I started doing that. Lord, in Jesus' name, I take back from what the enemy stole off me, my health. Do you know something? Yesterday, we took baby to Kauai Park, and for an hour and three quarters, I followed her around the park. For an hour, and I had no pain. Now, I know my healing's not complete yet because it's coming there. Every now and then, I get a little twinge, and I go, oh, no. You know? But I'd never been able to do that, eh, Lenny? Never been able to follow baby around. I couldn't run after her, of course. I couldn't do that, but I followed her for an hour and three quarters while we were waiting for that jolly train to open up. And I followed her for an hour and three quarters, and I never had one pain. Because I've taken back what belongs to me, my health. People, there's someone in here tonight, I got it written down, the Lord showed me, that you suffer with pain, and the pain gets you, then it goes through your whole body. I just want to say to you, when you go home tonight, you take back what belongs to you, and that's your health, and your pain will go. Don't let the enemy keep what belongs to us. Don't let him do it anymore. He's a thief, he's a robber, and everything else. Amen? Now we can bow our heads this time. You're here tonight and you've never, never, never asked Jesus into your life. You've never said, Lord, I don't understand everything, but I do believe that you are the Son of God and that you died on the cross for me and that you love me. If you're here tonight and you want to say, Lord, come into my heart, could you raise your hands?